Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Because we're all a little bit confused about the All-Ireland not being on a Sunday in September, I probably should have told you exactly when it is on this coming Sunday, 3:30. And you can watch live coverage, obviously, on RTE One and the RTE Player, and live radio commentary on RTE Radio One at 3:30. It does, as Marty says, promise to be an absolute humdinger. Now, butchers have warned that rising costs are putting the traditional Sunday roast at risk. So if you cook with meat, are you starting to experiment with different cuts that you're not familiar with? And how can you make sure that these end up providing tasty and nutritious dinners? I'm joined now by Chef Brian McDermott. Brian, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Philip. I'm very good. Thank you.
You want us to stop talking and thinking and framing these cuts of meat as cheaper cuts and start thinking about them as lesser known.
Yeah, I believe so, because for years, you know, it was referred to as cheaper cuts of meat. And what did that mean? And I don't think that should be a term we ever should have used. And now is a great time to get rid of it, because all we're actually talking about is the lesser known cuts. What are they? They're ones you don't think about, because we're framed when we're going into our butcher or our supermarket counter and we're thinking maybe we want a leg of lamb or maybe we want a prime rib roast. But you know what? As we go forward, Richard, in the week or in the weeks and months ahead, Philip, we're not maybe going to be able to afford all of those prime cuts. So where else do we look and how else do we think? And it's lesser known cuts of meat, things like silver side, the eye of the round, the top side. Now, they all immediately scream of, OK, aren't they tough? Aren't they hard to cook? Arguably, yes, but if we apply the right cooking technique to them, they are succulent, tasty, beautiful and affordable. Yeah.
And before we get on to slow cooking, you know, it really is remarkable the extent to which this industry has been led by supermarkets into producing, actually growing cattle that will produce a certain size of sirloin because shoppers are being led with the evidence of their eyes, as opposed to going and talking to the butcher about what's good, what's tasty, what's affordable.
Yeah, this is all about education. You know, perception is one thing and perception leads us in a certain way. But, you know, we have a great opportunity now. Stuff that we have all, you and I and everyone has campaigned for, you know, all of the animal needs to be used and not for us to focus, like we mentioned, on the prime cut. So let's have that conversation, start that conversation again and use this period of time actually as a great opportunity to educate and say, hang on, I'm not going to have that rib roast or steak this weekend, but I am still going to have a beautiful piece of beef at home, and let's educate how to cook it, because that is key. Because when you go to the lesser known cuts of meat, it's really only about making sure that it's not just popping it in the oven with a dry heat. To me, it needs moisture. It needs a little bit of love, tender, and a kind of a transition that is basically going to give you the results at the end of it. And believe it or not, Philip, a lot of the time, you're not doing very much with this in the cooking process. So, yeah, let's get back to educate and having that conversation with the butcher at the counter.
And for those of us who are saying, well, we should be eating less meat. Yes, we should be eating less meat. But there's a perfectly respectable climate argument here to not wasting those cuts of cheek or shin that would ordinarily not find a home in somebody's belly. But look, let's get to the heart of this and the cooking technique that transforms any cut of meat into something very, very respectable. Slow cooking.
Yeah, slow cooking is something we associate probably, you know, you think it's September, we're talking about it right through the winter, the depth, the flavour, colour and the darkness. But I actually would make a point that our slow cookers still work through the supposed summer that we're about to have. So rather than thinking
But you're not going to tuck into a stew at this time of year quite happily,
no,
are you?
I totally agree with you. We're not. But for the slow cooking process, let's say, you know, I pick up for argument a silver side or the eye of a round, and I take that home and I see that that's a 10 or 12 euro and that's good value. So how do I cook that and turn that into, I suppose, an occasion that is of summer? And I think by firstly, any joint like that, it's key that you leave it out at room temperature. Now, every chef says that and we go, what are they talking about? But it actually is to allow the temperature to come up so that when you seal it, sealing it means that you're sealing in the goodness, you're sealing in all of the nutrition and the flavor, and that helps to make it tenderized. So how do you do that? Hot pot, just your old sort of lid and pot, that ceramic. in with a bit of oil, seal it on all sides, season it. That is critical. Once that is done, then, Philip, you can change whatever's going to happen next. For me, I still apply those kind of couple of root vegetables like the carrot, the onion, the garlic, the bay leaf, maybe a bit of celery. And if you want a bit of parsnip, peeled, finely chopped, sweat those off. You've removed the beef from the pot. And when you sweat those, you're softening them. You're adding caramelization. You're adding the foundation of flavor, and it must happen at that stage. Then we go with the liquid. You can, if you wish, pop in a bit of a red wine, or maybe it's a local brew or a beer or a stout. Get it in there. What does that do? Because when we talk about a little bit of alcohol, you don't have to put in alcohol. We're breaking down the fibers. We're helping tenderize. We're giving that sourness, that bitterness to the meat. And then we'll pop in a bit of fresh stock, put the beef back in. And really what you're going to do is pop on a lid and slowly cook that. Either transfer that gorgeous ceramic pot to the oven, very low temperature, or pop it into your slow cooker. It's afterwards then, when it's cooked, that it gets exciting. How do you know it's cooked? Push your fork into it, and when it just falls apart, nothing has escaped, nothing's been taken away. It's all in one pot-style cooking. And then afterwards, we can turn this into a super exciting burrito bar. Why am I saying that? Because I have two teenage daughters. And when they go summer, they're going, let's queue up, let's get the burrito bar, let's get it into a tortilla or corn shells. But that exact meat is cooked the same way in that slow tenderizing process. It's like a pulled beef. We refer to pulled pork, but we rarely say it about beef.
I was just going to say, this is a clever act of deception. You have turned your winter stew for the benefit of your teenagers into something trendy like a pulled pork sandwich or... what was your other suggestion there?
Well, it could be a burrito. It could be tortilla shells, or it could be their favorite sweet brioche bun that you're just then pulling a bit of it apart and really serving it slightly warm, maybe a nice chutney in there, maybe a nice Irish cheddar inside a nice favorite flurry bap bun or a brioche. You've changed that perception. Or taking it over, adding a salsa to it, a little bit of a slaw. Then you're into the summertime eating, but you have got the value in the meat that you've purchased, which is lesser known to you. And it's cooking away as you're enjoying the sunshine outside, getting the burrito bar or the burgers ready. And all of a sudden, you're into an occasion that has totally, totally changed the perception of this meat.
Now, as you say, you don't need to go adding a huge amount of stuff to it because the process of slow cooking transforms it to the extent that a really, truly average cook like me can be turned into a person who people say, God, did you dig that? That's absolutely delicious. And it is just a question of adding time. But if you are going to add spices, what do you go for?
Yeah, well, again, spices is about who you're cooking for. And, you know, you'll know, Philip, if you've got friends coming around, what they like, or your own family. And, you know, you don't add too much spice if it's generally for different age categories. So what I tend to do if I'm pulling in spice, go for something like a garam masala. What is it? We hear of it very, very often. But to me, it is the best blend of ready-to-go spices you'll ever get in one container. It's full of pepper, cinnamon, a little bit of cardamom, coriander, clove and nutmeg. None of those are mentioned in chili. They're not big, mad, powerful spiciness that's going to take over. So the likes of that, even good, a little bit of minced lamb, which is great value, some fried onion, and just kind of pulling together a bit of a kofta idea, which is really getting a skewer. And as you've sweated that onion, a little bit of garlic and the spices, just sort of shaping it around a skewer and chilling it. They'll grill, they'll barbecue, they'll cook in the oven.
You didn't say the word barbecue, did you? You've just gone and jinxed all the weather forecasts now, Brian.
Well, Philip, I have great faith it's going to hold up for this weekend. I don't know about you, but I actually used my barbecue twice this year.
There you go, saying it again. Well, folks, it's Brian McDermott's fault if it doesn't happen. Come here, look, the carnivores are all slavering now. Can you cater for the veggies for a moment, please?
Of course you can, and you have to, and rightly so. And I think there's loads of options out there because you're talking about lesser known cuts, but you could actually be talking about lesser known, more appealing vegetables. You know, I'm going to use a recipe here for cauliflower, but equally I love a celeriac. A celeriac is like a turnip that's been squashed in. It's almost gone out of date. It's beautiful. It's dry, but it equally could apply to this recipe. So what do we need to do? Just grab your cauliflower, cut it into florets. How often do you see that people go cut it into florets? Well, to me, the florets here are literally keeping the stalk and everything. Remove the outer leaves, chop it up, and toss it in with some oil just in a bowl. And again, I'm going for a tablespoon of garam masala, but I'm going to add a little bit more heat this time with a teaspoon to a tablespoon of cumin, which is a nice kind of warming background to it. And we're going to roast that. And really, when you roast that, after honestly about 15 minutes, you get the most amazing smell. Keep that aside, and then I'm popping together a little quick nut butter based kind of sauce, which again is just sweating off some onion, a little bit of garlic. I've gone for fresh ginger, and I'm going to add into that 2 tablespoons of nut butter, and then some tomato passata, a little bit of cream to finish it with fresh parsley. So why the sauce, and why then do we have the cauliflower separate? So we've got that texture going on, that roast, that caramelization, the nice bed of sauce, serve it with maybe some rice. Or again, I'm a big fan of flatbreads at the minute. You know, flatbreads are easily got, they're out there, but sometimes we don't look for them. They can be topped, they can be enclosed, they can be toasted. There's so much that they can do to carry beautiful flavors that we've just talked about today. So go grab them, get them, and you're into a lovely vegetarian option here.
Roast cauliflower with cumin and nut broth. That would almost convert me. Brian, thank you very much for joining us. All of those recipes up on the website. Isn't that where we're putting them? Yeah, that's exactly where they're going. Brian McDermott, thank you very much. Coming up after the break, The Gathering.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.